if you get it to us in writing, you know, we'll make sure everybody on the board gets it. I hope they'll read it. But, you know, that is another way of sharing information. So I want to turn it over now to Susan DeSilva, the recently elected chair.
As we wait to hear from Susan DeSilva, let me tell listeners that you're listening to KPFA or KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, WBAI in New York, or KPFK Los Angeles, broadcasting the interim Pacifica National Board meeting live from Virgil Middle School Auditorium, Vermont, and First in Los Angeles. This is Susan DeSilva, recently elected chair of the elected KPFA Local Advisory Board.
Different things at the station. Sitting with me is Willie Radcliffe, who is the vice chair of the board and the publisher of this very fine newspaper, the San Francisco Bay View. You can pick it up on the back table. I have to say that I was extremely moved by some of the speakers of the Farden band from KPFK. Okay, I'm Susan DeSilva, and let me just go into the report. The KPFA Local Advisory Board consists of 22 elected members, 14 are listener representatives, 2 are paid staff, 6 are unpaid staff. We are diverse in many ways and live throughout the Signal area. Our regular meetings are monthly, but recently we have scheduled 3 additional meetings. The listening public is encouraged to attend our meetings. We welcome public comment at the beginning of most meetings, and on most agenda items, we try to let as many people speak as time allows. On March 30th, we will have a 5-hour meeting to agree on our goals and put those goals into action. We expect to clarify tasks for existing committees, formalize committees that are forming but not yet officially lab committees, and start new committees as needed. So we haven't really decided on our goals, but this we know so far. First, the lab is committed to diversity in all aspects of KPFA. The lab, the program council, all levels of the station staff, programming, and special events. Our primary aim is to make station programming more accountable to the listeners, potential listeners in various communities in our Signal area. One way we will do this is through a correspondence committee that will track and distribute input from listeners that arise to us by various means. Other ways of accomplishing this include compiling and publishing the community needs assessment study that we conducted last year. It's a huge amount of data and it's extremely interesting. After evaluation, we will begin a new round of community needs assessment meetings. And we will keep the listeners informed about station matters through regularly scheduled on-air lab shows. Secondly, we intend to advocate for the introduction of new programs in response to special events, as well as programs for and by currently underrepresented communities. Towards this goal, we have recently completed a process to choose 2 representatives and an alternate, all from the community, to serve on the program council of the station. The program council meets weekly, and our new reps are Andrea Buffo, Willie Thompson, and the alternate is Tracy Rosenberg. Soon we will seat a program council member from within the lab itself. In addition, we are forming a programming committee with lab and community members to influence program council decisions and to develop new programming. We take seriously that the lab should be about programming. Thirdly, we intend to establish closer relations with all 4 labs and with the national board. And lastly, we want to contribute to revising the national bylaws, and we will be involved with that. The positive outcome of the recent struggle is that we have a renewed concern and sense of ownership by those outside the station. KPFA is currently surrounded by many self-educated media activists who are key to saving the network, have already democratized the lab, and are eager to work within the station for mutual goals. In the short term, the KPFA lab has created a committee which will set up a process for a search committee to select a permanent general manager. We also need to structure a process for transformation and restoration. It's important to strengthen the station's independence from corporate and governmental influence and to encourage closer adherence to the Pacifica mission. We need to do a better job of meeting the needs of our underserved constituencies, and I'm going to list some of them. People of color, women, third world people, gays, lesbians, transgender people, prisoners, station listeners in diverse geographic locations. Young people, yes, young people. We are concerned about the Pacifica Foundation's grave financial condition and are eager to help overcome its debts. We are anxious that the mistakes of the past not be repeated. Now, the written report has a lot more about financial matters, including real concrete things that we would like this board to do. So I'm going to distribute that later, and I hope you all read it. We want to do whatever we can to ensure that persons opposed to the Pacifica mission never again gain control of the foundation. One step towards doing this is to democratize the local boards throughout the network and then to democratize Pacifica itself. Pacifica's power should come from the bottom up. We've heard that several times already this morning. However, we do understand that the time frame for these reforms needs to be carefully considered. And finally, the KPFA Local Advisory Board strongly urges the return of the Pacifica headquarters to Berkeley as soon as feasible. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Susan DeSilva, chair of the KPFA Local Advisory Board. Many people have come from KPFA and the Signal area, and they are signed up to make comments, so we will broadcast those comments to you as they come forth. Again, a reminder that sometime in an hour and a half, we'll be opening our phones, and those of you who are listening and are not here in Los Angeles may phone in and speak on the air.
Good afternoon. I've been a listener since 1957. I want to say to the listeners, keep your money coming in, yes. Also, though, we as listeners must participate, and that means work. Come to a lab meeting, meet your lab members, express your concerns, and meet with a listener group in your area and see how you can work with them. Secondly, as a station foundation and network promoting peace, I want to say love to the Israeli refuseniks in the Israeli army that are refusing to participate in the oppression of the Palestinian people. And I want to say that we need to urge the same for our own military, and we need to deal with the tax money that we're paying to support what's going on, and we can find a way to do it. And thank you all.
Thank you. Stan, and then Gail, and then Willie Ratcliffe.
Stan Woods, recently elected member of the local advisory board at KPFA. You know, over the decades, there's been many astute left media critics of the corporate media on KPFA as well as other Pacifica stations. Noam Chomsky, Edward Herman, Jeff Cohen, Pacifica's Amy Goodman. But I guess many times, unfortunately, people in the news department don't seem to be listening to this critique of the corporate media. So often, the same type of allegedly neutral, but in reality very loaded, very biased, very distorted terminology is used by the news department. I've noticed this for years, long before the present crisis. Granted, there are genuine terrorists in the world, but not everybody that the corporate media designates terrorists are terrorists, and not everyone they say are not terrorists aren't terrorists. And so oftentimes, conflicts are described as terrorists versus security forces. I'm a trade unionist. I'm official of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, Local 6, so I'm particularly disturbed by when there's a strike. And, okay, I understand why the station doesn't want to say scabs, but why can't the news department use a accurate term of strike breakers as opposed to replacement workers?
Right.
When workers go on strikes, they're not going down the Cabo St. Lucas for a couple of weeks and they're getting somebody to fill in their time while they're on vacation. These are strike breakers. And I can give many, many examples. On social issues, it's a bit better, but even then, I've heard pro-life be used to describe anti-abortion fanatics. I mean, the implication is those of us who support abortion rights are pro-death. I don't know. Now, when the news department's been contacted, when they've listened to us at all, I'll wrap it up, it's been like, well, we don't have the time to rewrite it. When many of us have volunteered to help rewrite it, there's been no comment. So I just want to end up by saying that, sure, the barbarians have been pushed away from the gates. Hopefully they won't regroup, though I'm afraid they might try to make another attack at us. But we have problems within our stations. The people we have problems with are not nearly as nefarious. You know, they might be very well-meaning. But to work in a station like KPFA or any of the other stations, to work as a union organizer or a staffer with an anti-imperialist solidarity group is an honor. It's a privilege. It's not just a goddamn job. And if anybody feels like that, they should move on. That's my view, and I'd like to express that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have Gail next, then Willie Radcliffe and Andrew above.
Hi, I'm Gail Blasey. I'm from Winters, and I am an elected local advisory board member, and I'm very proud of that. I'm also a member of the Sacramento Area Listeners Group. Anybody from that area who's interested in learning more about our group, email me at blaze, B-L-A-Z-E, at cal.net. I want to thank KPFA and Pacifica for airing this program on the radio station today. I think that it's very thrilling. I love the National Day of Programming, and I'm glad that we're all talking about openness. But there is still trouble in paradise at KPFA. Our program council, which is the core of what listeners are interested in, is programming, is not open to the public, and it's held during the day when people, most working people, cannot even attend a meeting, so they cannot be a rep. It takes incredible energy from local advisory board members, community group members, to get these kinds of shows, namely the national board meeting, on the air, to lobby to get a local advisory board report back to the listeners on the air. We should not have to spend our time lobbying those inside the station to get these very basic rights. Now, it's very interesting that the National Day of Programming came together like that. And for 1 year, the local advisory board has not succeeded at KPFA to get a monthly lab program on the air. That is unforgivable. I'm sorry. Something needs to change. And we need at least a monthly local advisory board so that we can report to you, the listeners, about what's going on in every station. The board needs to do it. I know you're not in charge of programming. You're not in charge of programming, but they're not listening to us. It needs to be mandated back that all national board meetings are aired and every lab has at least 1 hour of programming a month. It's not that much time.
Okay, thank you. Willie, and then it'll be Andrea.
My name's Willie Radcliffe, and I'm vice chair of KPFA. And if you haven't been moved here today by some of the people who've been banned, then you must have a heart of stone. I mean, I literally had tears coming down my eyes listening at how some of the people was treated. And then the next thing I think about was the $6 million problem that we have. We need more local autonomy. That would have never happened if we had more to say locally. Pacifica hijacked and moved to Washington, took all the power away from us, and then raided our checkbooks, took it away. Now, that lies real heavy, especially with people in Berkeley. And we want it back.
Yeah.
We want the station back there, because you will never find a better guard dog of Pacifica than Berkeley. Right. We had 10,000 people in the street for almost 6 weeks. And that's where we of where we are now. That's why we got the change. That's why we were able to do the court decision. And who comes up with 8 different law firms? Somebody ought to go to jail. Somebody ought to go to jail. For stealing our money and selling out to the right wing of this country. White supremacists of this country. Now, we want more local autonomy. You won't have that problem. We should downsize the national board's power. Right. Washington does not necessarily run Sacramento as a state. We need our own power. That way we can keep you guys in line. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Willie Ratcliffe, who's now the vice chair of the elected KPFA Local Advisory Board. This is Andrea Buffa, former executive director of the
Media
Alliance.
Yeah, people can keep their comments short.
I'll try. Hi, I'm Andrea Buffa, and first I just want to say what a pleasure is to be looking at this group of people who are now the board of directors of Pacifica, many of whom have worked so hard in the struggle to preserve this important, independent, and progressive media institution, as well as all the people who are listening and all the people in the audience. It's pretty amazing. In the KPFA time slot, I think you're going to hear a little bit about the issue of moving the Pacifica headquarters back to the San Francisco Bay Area. That's what I'm going to be speaking to, and I hope you'll just listen to my brief comments. First, the context is that Pacifica came in the middle of the night, like they did at WBAI, to the Pacifica headquarters in Berkeley in January 2000 and moved the headquarters to Washington, D.C. They took it out of there in the middle of the night because the Bay Area was able to mobilize thousands of people to oppose the corporate takeover of Pacifica. So moving the headquarters was part and parcel of the takeover of the network. So with that in mind, I want to urge you to support moving the headquarters back to California. And I think the people who are asking for that are not insisting that it be done immediately, because we know that there is chaos in that office and things need to be dealt with. We're reasonable. By the end of the year would be lovely. That's 9 months from now. And I just want to say why I think it's really important. The listeners in the Bay Area, if you don't know, starting in the late 1980s, participated in a capital campaign to build a building for KPFA and also for the national headquarters of Pacifica. So our listeners paid millions of dollars to build a space, especially for that headquarters. And out of respect, it would be nice if the headquarters actually used the space that we built for Pacifica. Additionally, as I mentioned before, this is one of the wrongs that was done in the attempted corporate takeover of the network. And as the wrong was righted at WBAI, this wrong should be righted in returning the office to the Bay Area. It's already been mentioned that we believe this is the safest place for the office to be because the listeners are so educated about the importance of this institution because they've been hearing it on the airwaves so much for so many years. And let me just finish with a few points. One is that the people in the Bay Area have been fighting for years for this network. We actually got our station back in 1999. But instead of saying, we got our station back, we can just forget about the network, we said, we need to keep working to liberate this entire network. They kicked WBAI out. We've got to go to New York and go to the board meeting and say, put those people back in, because this wasn't just about us. So I ask my colleagues, my fellow organizers throughout the United States, to join with the people in the Bay Area in something that we are really asking for, to right this wrong that was done to us. Finally, I think that there is a race component to this issue, and I think that throughout the Pacifica issues, we need to address the fact that there are racial tensions and there is racism within this network, as there is within the left and progressive movements in the United States, and we can't pretend they're not there, and we need to address them directly. It is very important to state the absolute necessity of having this network be led by a multiracial group of people. That has to be the case wherever the office is located. I think there is a misperception because of a lot of the people who engineered the corporate takeover basically saying that Berkeley is full of a group of crazy white people. Now, granted, throughout the Pacifica network, a lot of us are crazy white people. However, the San Francisco Bay Area is one of the most diverse regions in the United States. And California, people of color are the majority of the people in California. So if there is a myth that the Bay Area is white, please, I beg you to bring the next board meeting to the Bay Area, and the kick-ass people of color organizers there will come and tell you about the work that they're doing. Additionally, the people who support this move of the headquarters back to the Bay Area include Frances Beal, the National Secretary of the Black Radical Congress, Betita Martinez, a longtime Chicana activist and author, and many other people. So if anybody on the board wants to speak to me about that issue or any others, I encourage you to throughout the day. I thank you again, and I hope that we're going to go on to build the best, most incredible, progressive media institution in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea.
Andrea Buffa, former executive director of Media Alliance. Media Alliance is one of the community groups that was in the forefront of the struggle to save KPFA and Pacifica.
Good afternoon. My name is Chandra Houtman. Okay. Two quick announcements. We have a sign-up, a board, whiteboard over there for all the caucus meetings that listeners and labs want to have. Anybody wants to sign up, feel free. We also have people in the audience with brown paper shopping bags. The listeners are willing to pay for these caucus rooms so that the foundation doesn't have to. It's going to cost the foundation a few hundred dollars. If we don't pass the bags out at the meeting, we can do that at the listener activist meeting at 12 o'clock or the disability rights activist meeting at 3:30. Secondly, I am here to speak about a resolution that the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica has prepared. The resolution is to move the office of the foundation back to Berkeley, California, as soon as is feasible. That doesn't mean tomorrow or next week. It means as soon as the foundation can financially do this. We have people in the KPFA community that are willing to put up the money to make this move possible, so it won't cost the foundation anything. We have rent-free space. And the community will embrace the foundation's office to protect it from the civil liberties, from the people that want to attack free speech and anti-civil liberties throughout the country. We have our network back, but we still face a grave attack from the government. So I just want to keep that in mind. As a recent emigre to Berkeley, California from Brooklyn, New York, the KPFA community has welcomed and embraced me, as we hope that the KPFA network will continue to welcome and embrace the Pacifica Foundation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I really want to say,
all those who support this move to stand up.
The audience of about 200 people here.
Yay! For those listening on the radio, it's the majority of the audience and the majority of the people from the foundation. Thank you.
Okay, let me just ask that nobody else more than speak to the office.
WBAI, New York. Live broadcast of the Pacifica Interim National Board meeting from LA.
200 people here right now. If you're listening in the Los Angeles area and you want to come down, we're at the Virgil Middle School Auditorium at Vermont and First. This is Kurt Gray from the KPFA Local Advisory Board.
KPFA, I wanted to speak more to issues for the national movement, but one thing I did want to say about the board in Berkeley is that I think one of our tasks of that elected board is to help the station in transforming the transformation of its structure and its programming without the process devolving into some sort of conflict. And this is part of our challenge, embracing change without, in unity in some way. And the station board has to prepare itself to become a local governing board, because I believe that inevitably that's what has to happen. So those are some of the tasks of the board up there. With regards to the national movement and your tasks, I think there's the need for paid organizers in at least some of the station areas. I've been involved in this struggle for a long time, long before 1999, and I can see what gets done by people who aren't getting paid, who do something for years and years. You get burned out. and you sometimes can't get things done because you don't have the resources. That's the lesson learned from looking at the Pacifica campaign. Okay? In the period of the settlement, if we want to have people who are going to be voting for these local boards who are with the Pacifica mission, we're going to have paid organizers, in my opinion, working with the management at the stations, with the local boards, and with the local activists to go out and bring those audience back to the stations in time to be voters for this upcoming election of local boards. That has to happen. I don't know who would pay for it. Okay, we need to use the air to educate the voters of their new task. I wanted to get to history in. Okay, I guess I'm not going to get this. And could you give me a little time?
Well, I can give you more time if somebody else on the list drops off. Or I'll cut them off. So go on.
Okay. I wanted to talk about the importance of history. Some people have brought this up. There needs to be a review, and this is going to be maybe a little unpopular. There needs to be a review of the strategy for national programming, which the National Board adopted in the early mid-90s. Okay? And there needs to be a close examination of the events at this institution all across the country in the mid-90s. We constantly hear that this struggle began in 1999 at KPFA, and it did not. And people need to understand where it really started, okay? It has to be examined. It can't be a buried history, because otherwise we're going to make the same mistakes again. We also have to understand that this movement itself is divided between some people who are on the inside and have some power, and some people who are on the outside and don't, and that there is a correlation between, because some people believe that the changes from the mid-90s until the lockout at KPFA were a good thing, and they supported them, and they thought they were necessary, and they embraced national programming. And other people think that that was where the problem began, and we need to go back and examine all that. But you're not going to hear that so far on KPFA very much. We need to talk about that and hear about it on all the stations. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Heidi... If Heidi's not here, Jeff? Okay, Lauren?
Hi. My name is Lauren Cooley. I'm a person who lives in Napa, California. I'm a teacher, and I'm just going to talk about what's on KPFA, because I think we have enormous challenges at KPFA to create new programming to address the national and international right-wing threats we face. I think that it's really a mistake to consider that KPFA has any more figured this out than any other station, and I really would beseech the audience to be courteous and civil in the way they talk about what's happening at all the stations. I was very concerned to hear people talk in a negative and pejorative way about some of the new management at other stations. I think we need to be supportive of people changing as they can. And believe me, we have a struggle at KPFA. We are very upset, many of us, about the quality of the news at KPFA. We do not want it to be the model for free speech radio news. There are some serious, serious problems that have already been outlined. We do not have public affairs programming at night or on the weekends when my students could listen to it. So as a teacher, I cannot introduce my students to this station because there is nothing on when they're not working or at school. And I could go on. I won't. But I'd like to see things ranging from labor struggles to stories about Columbia to tenant rights on a regular and scheduled basis, so that in the debate over music or versus public affairs, we do have the same challenges faced by all the stations. And I frankly look to the National Board for guidance on this issue. I really think that we need a vision from the National Board about how to respond to the right-wing takeover of our country and how to adapt the programming at all the stations so that we can be a unified arm fighting back against what's happening to this country and this world. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Heidi. Jeff?
My name is Jeffrey Blankford. I am a programmer at KPOO in San Francisco and Pacifica affiliate KZYX in Mendocino. I'm also was a founder of Save KPFA back in 93 and Take Back KPFA in 1995. I was inspired to hear and see in front of your board, the Pacifica board again, Ron Wilkins, Ken Carr, and Lorraine Mercer, because I remember them back in 93 in the beginning of this fight. Now, one of the things that bothered me at KPFA was not just the governance problems, but the news department's connection and incestuous relationship with the Democratic Party establishment, to the point where we have never heard any criticism of any Democratic politicians on KPFA news department or on the morning show when there is a powerful political machine within San Francisco. Last year, there was a grassroots coalition, defeated that machine, put in a whole bunch of new board of supervisors. It was a non-story on KPFA News. It was a non-story on the morning show. And when the election was won with people, not money, what was the story on KPFA News? The hanging chads. Now, we just had another election, and the Brown-Burton machine got defeated again. John Burton wanted to put his daughter in as public defender, and the people voted against it. Willie's paper supported the winner. And what do we have? The same kind of conditions. So this relationship between the Democratic Party and KPFA News, unfortunately, is not alone in the network. On the national program, I heard some of the same things on other stations. So I think there needs to be some kind of a forum for Pacifica to deal with our issues, relationship, the political parties, alternative politics, and where we're going to, what we're going to do about it, because right now it isn't working. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we have two more speakers, Maria, and then William Jones.
My name is Maria Gillardin. I'm was elected to the local advisory board at KPFA. And this is a very moving moment for me because I was the first person banned from all Pacifica stations down here in Los Angeles in 1993, which was first a lonely proposition because initially I was the only one, and was lovingly called Mariah the Pariah by the Micropower Radio movement that I joined at that point. I would request the 2 extra minutes for that because I want to mention
sorry.
A few people.
I need to ask you to not take those extra minutes.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Leslie,
Thank you.
I will, because I'm not going to talk about myself. I want to thank a few people who showed courage, because that's something that needs to be remembered here. I want to thank Roy Tuchman for presenting my program in spite of Mark Schoaf. I want to thank Samori Marksman for saying when I was banned that I was always welcome at WBAI and that my program would be on WBAI, which it was. And I want to thank Ron Wilkins, who unfortunately left, because he was banned on the day that he had Ken and Jackie Batiste from Houston on his program here. We were all cut off the air by Mark Schoaf, and he risked his program to support people who were banned and fired. And I hope that memory stays alive. Specifically to KPFA, I want to acknowledge the about 80 people who were banned and fired from KPFA and who still have not been returned to the air. That includes Living on Indian Time, that includes the one-hour labor show, that includes many African-American programmers, and that includes pretty much the whole women's department, of which I was a co-founder. Why this is important is not only because of these individuals who were disappeared and who didn't even need to be banned, because the staff did not invite them in. Firing was enough. And the staff did not invite them in for a couple of reasons. One was, we want to professionalize the station. We want to get rid of these community broadcasters who didn't go to broadcasting school. The other item was that staff said, you've been here too long, which initiated at KPFA the longest tenure of many of these programmers who are now on the air we have ever seen in Pacifica. So it's strange that those people who kicked others out because they had been there too long then negotiated sort of a contract for life with themselves through the CWA. That's an item that needs to be addressed. I also want to say one more thing, because it's so prevalent here about music versus public affairs. I hear this being discussed with all the other representatives. I helped put micropower radio stations on the air in East Timor and Haiti on Native American reservations. I have never met anybody who wanted these stations in order to play music. Really not. Not that they don't love music. But the people in Magdalena Medio in Colombia get killed for saying words. I have a CD from that area that only presents the music from there, because if they speak, the militia is coming in and kills them. And Michael Taylor here, who also needs to be acknowledged, an African-American programmer from the news department at KPFK, was murdered in the streets of Los Angeles over the possession of a micropower radio station that he wanted to use to get the news out. So I want to urge all of you who sit here and protect music, which I also love, that you need to remember that we need our stations in order to talk to each other, voice to the voiceless. That was the mission of Lou Hill. I thank you very much. Leslie.
Thank you. Thank you, William. Thank you. William.
That was Mariah Gallardin, an independent radio producer who produces TUC Radio. We have one more speaker from the KPFA listening area who's come down here to Los Angeles. He'll be the 11th speaker, and then we'll go on with the station manager reports.
Okay, William.
Yes.
Yes, I'm a long-time supporter of Pacifica. Since 1965, I discovered KPFA growing up in Los Angeles during the Watts Rebellion, and moving to the Bay Area in 74, I supported KPFA. I want to call for, now not to mention the return of the headquarters to Berkeley, so I won't say it. I will ask for the reinstatement of black liberation programming such as African Liberation Weekend, minus the homophobia. Am I speaking to, is this better? Let go? Okay. Also, this is a good mic, so I don't have to hold them. Okay. Is this better? All right. Minus the homophobia, those of you, the black and liberationists that are across country and listening to this, we'll want to briefly remind the contributions of black gays and lesbians such as Ethel Waters, Conte Cullen, Langston Hughes, Elaine Locke, James Baldwin, Banyard Rustin, and others, and myself. I also want to call, ask that that Kilu Niasha be invited to her group of people be invited to return to KPFA. That was, Freedom was a Constant Struggle is a marvelous program. And there's other things I can say, but I think I've said enough, and I'll defer comment so that people can speak. And I will also say that I also was a micropower broadcaster. I had a show on Free Radio Berkeley called Pan-African Gay Men's Liberation Radio, if anybody ever heard it. Well, thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you. Again, I want to thank everybody for their comments. I think the board takes all these comments extremely seriously, and it helps us understand the full picture of what's happening around the network. I'm sorry if I've had to cut people off and encourage your brevity, but we still have three more stations. So I want to warn the board right now, we are not going to break at 12:30. We are obviously running late, and I would rather push through on this, get all five stations reported on, and then break and maybe shorten the lunchtime from an hour and a half to an hour, because we still have a tremendous amount of work to do this afternoon, critical work that we must pay attention to. So, moving right along, we want to move to fly across the country, or to the middle of the country, to KPFT, where our Houston station where I guess about a little more than a month ago, 5-6 weeks ago, a new general manager was put into place, Dwayne Bradley, and we will hear from him, and then from the new chair of the local advisory board, Deb Shufto. So we welcome from the front line of Texas, Dwayne Bradley.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a real honor to be here. It's actually quite a surprise to be here. I was hired as the general manager at KPFT just a little over a month ago, on February 6th. And I find myself now sitting behind the same desk I once was program director at KPFT and have been gone for 13 years. I was banned from KPFT in 1991.
I'm sorry. Can we get Dwayne's mic louder?
Hello?
He is.
I am.
He's right on it.
I can move to a different mic.
Yeah, it might help. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this better? Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Okay, I was hired just a little over a month ago after a very long absence from KPFT, and it's a joy and a pleasure and an honor and a privilege to be here amongst this wonderful group of activists and people who fought so strong and hard and so long to bring the mission of Pacifica back, and to those who I've worked with in the front lines in Houston and elsewhere, I thank you for the opportunity to be here as the general manager of KPFT. I wanted to just report to the board that a fund drive, well, I was hired on February 6th, so I've been the general manager for 4 weeks and a couple of days. I came to a station where a fund drive was scheduled for January 31st, and it had been canceled, the prior manager having resigned the day before the national board meeting in New York City. And we've rescheduled this fund drive. It will start this coming Wednesday, and it'll run through the 24th of March. Our goal for the drive is a little over $200,000. It sounds kind of low by the standards I've seen and heard about from the rest of the stations. And I know that KPFT and Texas are under a national spotlight right now because every other station has already finished their fund drive, and they've all set records, and Houston is now, center stage. And I hope that we come through as well as we hope to. We anticipate a very large response from the community, but there's a large amount of healing that still needs to be done down in Houston and in southeast Texas. The drive is being portrayed by us as an opportunity for the Houston community and the greater Texas area to come together. We're building bridges between these factional groups, which have been loosely represented as dissident public affairs people and an old guard sound of Texas music crowd. And a lot of my time so far as general manager has been spent on this healing process between and amongst these groups. The staff of the station is in a process of being rebuilt right now. When I came into the station, there were 3 full-time employees. There was an engineer, a development director, and a promotions manager. And there were 2 part-time employees. And that was it. I've brought back onto the staff the former business manager who had been coerced into resigning, and she's also handling the membership coordinator's duties. I've just a few days ago added an interim program director just for immediate assistance on program help, and we'll be going through a formal posting of a program director job description and that whole hiring process in maybe 6 to 8 weeks when we get stabilized down in Houston after our fund drive and once we all get our legs underneath us. And in addition, everyone on staff is basically wearing a minimum of 2 hats at this point. The development director is also the volunteer coordinator. The midday host is also the music director, the programming assistant, part-timer is also handling all the music library, the maintenance of our website, general receptionist duties, and all kinds of things. So at present, we have 5 full-time salaried employees and 3 part-time hourly contract employees. There's no news department, and that is an issue that we have to address in the next few months after we stabilize the situation down there in Houston. There's a volunteer staff of non-paid volunteer programmers. There's about maybe 70, and perhaps another 20 that assist behind the scenes on clerical, maintenance, and administrative capacities. And in this regard also, we're working toward building systems to train more volunteers. We've instituted an open door policy. We are getting people to help us with office work and data entry, membership assistance, and things like that. And we've also begun a search process with help from some members of the local advisory board to reinstitute an intern program with the local universities in Houston. The most volatile issue that I've run into thus far is that of programming and program changes. The previous manager, people in Berkeley remember Garland Ganter, and I'm sure everyone in the network remembers him. Well, he set up this false dichotomy of, this us and them, the folks representing the sounds of Texas music versus news and public affairs people. And the staff and listeners were given information internally as well as over the air that portrayed those of us who were on the outside as violence-prone extremists, people that were very dangerous radicals that would take away their music and reinstitute an all-foreign language talk show news and public affairs format 24 hours a day. And this is a very prevalent attitude. This impression is widespread in Southeast Texas. And the level of fear and distrust in the listener base at KPFT is pretty widespread. So one of the primary focal points of my tenure thus far in the month I've been there has been to build bridges, to go to community events, to reach out to the people who are operating from a base of fear, to assuage those fears, and to begin rebuilding a sense of trust. We've immediately done a little bit of program changing. We added Free Speech Radio News the very first day I was there. We instituted a noonday weekday public affairs program and took away what was called the All Request Lunchbox music show, which was actually only one request per hour was allowed each day, and it had to be from an approved list of approved songs. So that's been replaced, and I wanted to thank, well, Brian DeShazer mentioned this last night. I really relied on Brian and Mark, and the folks at the archives really came through for KPFT and helped provide us with some great archival material, which we put into that slot and did some outreach to the black community in Houston and did essentially a belated KPFT Salutes Black History Month program slot for that entire month at noon. And also, since the demise of PNN, we've added some really wonderful programming that we've pulled in off of the satellite and off the net, such as Between the Lines and Making Contact, Behind Headlines, Counterspin, TUC Radio, which is an awesome piece of radio. And just this past week, we began running a KPFA program, Flashpoints, with Dennis Bernstein. It's now running every weeknight live at 7 o'clock in Houston, and we've replaced public radio's The World with Flashpoints. And that brings up an issue I'd like to throw out to the folks of you who have any influence over the program council in Berkeley. Please do whatever you can to take away the 5 minutes of news at that top of that hour at 5 o'clock. Flashpoints is such a wonderfully valuable program, and I would much rather hear Robert Knight do the news at 5 here and 7 for us in Texas instead of listening to that little 5-minute piece that's there now. So anyone with any influence over the program council in KPFA, please make that happen as soon as possible. I understand turf wars and consciousness and all that, but please make that happen. because we have no local news in Houston, but we don't really need to know about the Bay Area elections for the first 5 minutes of Flashpoints. Other issues related to programming involve the consideration of how to more fully implement the mission of Pacifica in Houston, how to reach out and serve the larger community not currently listening to Houston because they were fired. Both the Latino and Black communities, which represent a majority of the population in the greater Houston area, were fired as listeners 6 years ago in a major purge. And we have a very large task in rebuilding Pacifica's relationship with both those communities, as well as the Asian audience, which was another fired constituency at KPFT. There are no programs at all addressing these communities at present. So the local advisory board in Houston has been tasked to serve as an outreach committee and to perform part of this mission along with myself and getting out into the community and doing as much as we can to rebuild the connection between these lost communities that really are the majority of Houston. As far as our facilities at the station, they're in pretty good shape. We have problems, as Don Mussel mentioned in his engineering report that you received last night, with a transmitter translator in the Galveston area that's not up and running, and we need to move forward on that. We're also running at a far lower power level than I was ever led to believe. We used to be 100,000 watts, and I believe right now we're running under 40. So that's something that we need to deal with as well. And we also have a faulty heat pump in our broadcast wing, which is a little scabbed on wing to the old house that we operate out of, and that's a non-budgeted expense. We're going to need some attention to that in the near future. We've been using the production studio a heck of a lot more than it has been used in anyone's recollection, at least going back several years. We've added mini disc technology. We've been doing a lot of CD burning. We're working towards instituting a training program to actually teach people how to use radio again, which is something that hadn't been done in Houston in about a decade. And as far as issues involving the national office, they've been very helpful with getting us acclimated to the job. If we can just say one thing about them and the folks there, quicker turnaround time on processing paperwork. Everyone is swamped with things. We're all kind of behind at least one eight ball. Getting things processed quicker through the national office would go a long way towards making our necessary work easier. As a station, we also support the expedition of some plan to maintain and preserve the Pacifica Radio archives and to make this a more easily accessed digital resource center and something we can count on and something that we can preserve. We also support the return of the national office to its birthplace and also the return of printed folios to all the stations. And just one last thing, and then I'll, I think I've probably taken longer than I thought I would here. But it's particularly troubling to myself and to those of us on staff at KPFT that in the weeks that we've been working together, we've found so many missing document files and basic blanks in the history of our station. I went and inspected the public file. The last public filing quarterly notices that are in there are from the third quarter of 1999. We're in grievous
WBAI, New York.
Law. And I probably shouldn't be saying this since it's being broadcast, should I? Sorry. We're working with the National Office. We're working with John Krigler and the lawyers in Washington to recreate missing documentation. This mandated information is gone, and we're going to have to recreate that. So this is very disturbing. The files, contract files with Public Radio International, with AP, with other organizations, even the phone company, these contracts are all missing. Many of the files in my office contain nothing but empty file folders with titles, but no papers in them. So most of the information from beyond 1999, the last 2 years essentially, have vanished. So it would be very helpful if the National Office could perhaps do something like perhaps assign Brian Gibbons to make a field trip to Houston for a couple of days and help in getting these situations remedied. That's essentially what's happening right now. And as I come more fully into this job, I hope to be able to be a little more informative and a little bit more helpful. And I appreciate all of your assistance, and I appreciate all of your support. Thank you.
Good, thank you.
That was Dwayne Bradley, the general manager of KPFT in Houston. I misspoke before because I didn't really know, but I'm told by Assistant Executive Director Bernie Lee Brown that Dwayne Bradley is, in fact, a full hire, a permanent hire at KPFT in Houston. He's the only one right now of the five managers who has been hired on a permanent basis. Processes are being put in place, as you may have heard earlier today, in other signal areas to hire general managers, and they're acting general managers everywhere, and those are the ones we're hearing from, except for Dwayne Bradley in Houston, so we'll clean that up. Deb Shafto is the chair of the local advisory board at KPFT in Houston, and we'll hear from her now.
I'm speaking. Oh, there it goes.
Yeah, talk directly into it, not inside.
Since the meeting in New York, we've had a lot of energy put into the station and into the formation of the lab. We did merge almost immediately, and we elected officers. We put out the search for a new general manager because we were without any manager at that point. And we had a lot of responses, a lot of very high-quality responses. We were amazed at the caliber of applicant. There were any one of a whole number of people who would have done a fine job. And we think pretty much unanimously in the whole activist community that Dan has made exactly the right choice. Dwayne is the person from his years of activism, from his diplomatic ways, who could bring this station together, and he is doing a very fine job. We're all very pleased with what he's doing. We've had two general meetings since the first one, and our next one is planned for next week on Wednesday the 13th. There have been 300 to 400 people at these meetings, and most of this audience has been oppositional. They have not been easy meetings. Garland had systematically over the years eliminated participation with the staff, with the lab, with everybody in the communities. He had disengaged any minorities from any participation, so we are left with this pretty solidly white listening audience who want their entertainment. Thank you very much. And it's going to take a lot of hard work, much of which has been done and more has to be done, to turn these people around. One of the things that we did do was to break into smaller committees where two lab people take comments so that more people can be heard. And it has given the people, many of the people, the feeling that they actually are being listened to rather than what used to happen at the old lab meetings. It's been very successful. There have been many people who were vocally very active in opposition, who are now working on part of committees, who are taking an active part in learning what we need, what we all need to learn on how to make this a good organization. There are committees who have been formed before being actually ratified or authorized by the lab. We've had ad hoc committees working on seeking programs, getting program proposals in, on reviewing those program proposals, on setting up committees to review the programming now on the station. We've had people organizing volunteers to answer the phones and do paperwork and whatever we could do to organize volunteers to for outreach. We've had a volunteer outreach committee that still has not yet been officially through the board, but is actively working. We know that's our major forward step. We cannot have a real Pacifica radio station with all white listeners. It just can't happen. We have taken on with great delight the FSRN reporters. They are holding a training session this very weekend in the station using the facilities. We have passed a resolution to promote local news. We understand that it's not possible to run right out and hire a news director. But we have asked for volunteers, found volunteers to start that coordinating process. We co-hosted a peace festival that I have to mention. In Houston, because of KPFA's co-hosting, we were able to gather about 1,000 people to listen to music and peace messages throughout the day.
that doesn't sound like much for California, but for Houston to gather 1,000 people was simply phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It has never happened. The closest we have... The closest we have come to that was at the beginning of the Gulf War some 10 or so years ago. And this was not organizing around a specific event. This was organizing around people come forward, listen to music, and have a good day of fellowship and listen to peace messages. One of the most significant things about it, not only was the attendance, but the fact that we had programmers who had formerly been very resistant to the peace message, emceeing, introducing, welcoming, working at the tables. And there was a tremendous rapprochement between the two factions over this wonderful event, and we certainly want more of them. One of our struggles that we need to take on immediately is to convert ourselves from this aggressive struggle mode, which we've had to have, into a more pensive, thoughtful agenda to take a look at where we want to be, to take a look at how we can solidify an organization so that we can assure continued mission-based programming and still allow for changes within a democratic system. I think this is relevant to all program areas, but it's particularly difficult in Houston with the underlying opposition that we face. We need to outreach to all communities. We have delegated every member of the board, which is 21 now and probably will move to 24, to be an organizer and go out to very different communities. And we are, at this coming meeting, proposing a smaller community of overseers who will review projects and follow up on them to make sure that well-intentioned plans are actually carried out. What we need from the board, we would love to have more national visits. We would love to have people coming down. We need town hall meetings where local people who can't travel can feel that they are actually having the ear of the board. We feel that we need to cultivate affiliates, because right now in Texas, there is us. It's a big state. Many people in Texas have no access to progressive radio, no access to real information of any kind, and we really need to not only get ourselves in that mode, but to look forward for opportunities to spread out to other cities and places around the state. And we can use the board's help on that. And that's everything I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Deb Shapto, who is chair of the KPFT Houston Local Advisory Board.